Good Sunday morning, and welcome to Hot Topics, a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department on Duval's Only R&B. Here's Julie Morgan.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Julie Morgan. A few weeks ago, you probably heard every news anchor or reporter talk about a celebrity basketball game. Yes, it was a whole lot of fun, but as a famous old-school radio host likes to say, it was a party with a purpose. The purpose? To raise money for homeless students with the I'm a Star Foundation. But what is the I'm a Star Foundation? Here to answer all our questions about this organization is its founder and executive director, Betty Burney. Betty, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. Thank you for having me.
So tell me, what is I'm a Star Foundation?
The I'm a Star Foundation is a leadership and service program for middle and high school students. Our basic goal is to teach every child that he or she is a star, smart, talented, and resilient. We provide them with empowering opportunities to develop solutions for anything that is happening that is negative in their community, their city, or the nation.
So why did you start this?
I started it because While on the school board in Duval County, I noticed that there were too many young people who I felt were not living up to their potential. And I felt that the reason they were not living up to their potential is because they did not know intrinsically what they had inside. And that if we want them to actually go out and be solution-oriented individuals, we need to train them to do that and to be that. So this was my opportunity to touch some students and say, okay, now you can go out and change the world.
Is there a certain age group that you work with?
We work with middle and high school students, so actually from 11 to 18.
11 to 18. Have you found that that particular group or that age group, they have the toughest time?
They actually do. When we were 11 through 18, there was peer pressure. But now these young people have what I call peer pressure on steroids. It's that kind of peer pressure that can be deadly if it's not channeled the right way. They have a tougher time. School is much tougher now than it was years ago because of the different testing and those kinds of things that young people have to face. But the most important thing for me is that this is the Google generation, mm-hmm. and they have been dubbed as perhaps the most creative generation ever. That creativity is not being tapped into, so this is a great opportunity to tap into that creativity that they have.
And how can parents help them with that?
Parents can help them by, first of all, talking to their children and not at their children, finding out what their children are interested in, and more than anything else, encouraging and nurturing their children. If you don't nurture your child, don't expect anybody else to. There may be people out there who will do it, but as parents, you are the first nurturers, you're the first teachers.
Some parents will say, but it's probably a little bit easier to talk at them than to them.
Mm-hmm. And it is. It may be. I have two sons, and they're grown now. Sometimes it's easier to just talk at them. But if you have a goal in mind for your children, if you want your children to follow their dreams, you have to keep in mind that if they don't know how to dream, you have to dream for them. Dreaming for them means talking to them to find out what they want to do and where they want to go.
And have you found with some students that sometimes they just don't know what it is they could do, so therefore that they can't create this roadmap to get there?
Exactly. That has been one of the most interesting facets of the I'm a Star Foundation. We get young people in and we say to them, okay, you're going to have to speak before city council, or you're going to have to do this or that. And in their minds, they say, I can't do that, or I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that. And then once you show them one time that they can do it, they are hooked for life. And the most important piece of it is that I found is that when you introduce them to opportunities and you introduce them to possibilities, and they see people, especially who look like them, being able to do some things, they think they can do it.
Tell me about some of your projects.
Well, we've narrowed things down that we have two tracks that we focus on with I'm a Star. One is the homelessness track. I'm not sure if you know it, but there are thousands of young people who are homeless in Duval County Public Schools. And in 2013, we found out that there were nearly 2,000 back in 2013. Their job was to do something about it. The only advice that I gave to them is that you have to change it, but you cannot do bake sales. We don't do cookies, and we're not baking, but you need to come up with some money for these kids. They came up with $20,000 in a few months that they raised and donated to the school district. So with the homeless piece, that is helping young people who, through no fault of their own, find themselves homeless. We are providing opportunities, awareness, scholarships, and resources. Our other track is the most important piece for me because that's the healthy living track. Our kids were told back in 2009 that they might be the generation who will not outlive their parents because of the way that they eat and because they sit there and play video games all day long, inactivity. And so they've done so many wonderful things with homeless, with healthy living, including taking their ideas to the Surgeon General of the United States and having the Surgeon General to come to Jacksonville to be with them for a full day.
So let's talk about some of what you just mentioned. In 2013, there were 2,000 homeless students in Duval County.
In 2013, and these are students, actually the number at that time was 1,600, 1,900, but those are the young people whose parents actually register them with the Duval County Public Schools as homeless. There are other countless faces that are homeless, but their parents will not register them, of course, for obvious reasons, with the school district. Now that number is 2,700. I was told that is actually, since the time that it was 2,700, has approached 3,000.
That is so sad.
It is sad, but it is true. And we, I think, as a community, have to do something about it.
So tell me this. If a child is homeless, if a student is homeless, how can they learn?
It is the most exasperating thing for me because we expect them to go in, take those tests, do well, etc., when they're trying to figure out how they're going to have a roof over their heads. Some of the students who were homeless talked about homework, for instance, that we take for granted that our children can sit at a table and do at night. Many kids have to either go to Starbucks or other places where there's electricity or something that they can go in and get their homework done and get in and out. But I found that those young people are the most resilient because they don't want to be in that situation and they're doing everything they can to climb out.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not taking anything for granted.
Exactly. They're not taking anything for granted. One kid said to me when she finally moved from one of the homeless shelters into an apartment, the fact that she could open her own refrigerator meant a whole lot. And, you know, our kids stick their heads in the refrigerator all day long. But this kid could open her own refrigerator door.
Open the refrigerator door and leave it there.
And leave it there.
And leave exactly. It open. Yeah. So things that you take for granted. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
In working with these homeless students, what else have you heard from them as far as the way you're able to help them?
One of the things that I've heard from them is that many of the kids whose parents are homeless, their parents are not homeless by choice. Many of their parents are homeless because of the downturn of the economy. Many of them came here looking for jobs, did not find them. So they're out there on the street. The two things that I found most that I think we as a city can do is that we can help the school district to help those young people. The school district, of course, gets money for homeless students, but it's restricted. It can't be spent on things such as uniforms, or it can't be spent on things that if a kid is homeless but living in Sulzbacher and wants to play football, it can't be spent on those kinds of things, you know, the uniforms, etc. With the funds that we raise through I'm a Star, that's unrestricted. So the city of Jacksonville, if they would really just tap into that, you can help young people get a whole lot of things that they normally cannot get through the school district or anywhere else because of restricted funds.
Okay. You sparked another conversation because I'm thinking, well, what do they use the funds for?
Well, they use the funds for things, I believe, such as books or some of the other things that they need, but the state mandates what you can and cannot use them for. When a family has to leave their home and may have to go into a hotel, I'm a Star has been able to provide the school district with the money for the hotel for a night stay until they can get stable and get somewhere else. I'm a Star has been able to provide the uniforms that the kids have to wear that we all take for granted and say, it's so cute that they're in uniforms. Uniforms cost money. Eyeglasses, whatever else it is that they need, our funds have been able to help them do that. And people can still help right now because we're in a campaign and they can go to www.gofundme.com/helpinghomelessstudents and give a dollar. give $2. Whatever it is that you give, all of that money is going to be taken to the school district on September 11th and presented to the superintendent and the school board.
Hot 99.5, keeping you up to date with what's happening in the community. This is Hot Topics on Hot 99.5.
So let's talk about this a little bit more. You recently had a basketball game to try to drive the donations regarding the homeless students, right?
Yeah, and it was awesome. People came in the rain. That was the most exhilarating thing for me, is because people understood that our children were trying to help other children. They came in the rain, celebrities throughout the city, your station, everyone came out and helped. And we raised funds. Our goal is to raise $50,000. That $50,000 will go a long way. We're over halfway there, but we still need funds.
So there's still time to give.
Yes, there is still time to give. And we've been able to, they'll help with rental deposits, JEA deposit, college application fees, scholarships, those kinds of things. There's still time to give. Our website is www.imastarfoundation.org, or go to the GoFundMe/helping homeless students.
Now let's talk about another project you mentioned, Healthy Living. That can be difficult, especially in some areas where there could be a food desert.
Mm-hmm.
There's fresh vegetables is just, you look around and it's just not there.
It's just not there. The one of the first projects that our students worked on was with food deserts. In 2012, they convinced two local corner stores, to sell fruits and vegetables. And the people came and the people purchased them. We take sometimes, we think that, you know, a lot of the diseases that we have, high blood pressure, diabetes, all of those things are preventable with nutrition and exercise. But if the nutrition piece is not there and people have to go somewhere or catch a bus or do some other things to get to where they're going to get fruits and vegetables, they just don't do it. As a matter of fact, we do have our own produce stand down at the Rosa Parks Transit Station.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you can come down and get cheap but delicious fresh fruits and vegetables at the Rosa Parks Transit Station.
Okay, is that all the time or how does that work?
That is on Fridays, every Friday from 10 to 2.
What do the students think about this healthy living thing?
When they heard that statistic back in 2009, it shocked them. Because the first thing they thought was, I don't want my mom and dad to bury me. Then they started reading and understanding and getting full awareness of childhood obesity and just how much childhood obesity can kill. The one thing that I love is that they went to, in 2014, they went to a city where there was a track where they were talking about students can give their voice for childhood obesity. Well, they didn't let the students give their voice. So our kids started their own, and they did the first youth-led childhood obesity summit in 2014. Then they started looking at all the childhood obesity manuals, and it was written by adults. And they said, kids are not going to read this. So they did their own. They went to the Surgeon General, gave him advice, which, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, how is this man going to take this with these kids? He fell in love with the notion that they were trying to not only bring accountability to themselves, but empower their peers.
So it's something that they've embraced.
They've embraced it. And several of them have gone into health fields, you know, after they've graduated.
Okay, so you got to tell me about some of your success stories.
Okay. Oh, I'd love to do that. In fact, I just had a lunch with one of my success stories from 2012.
Right.
And he came over to the basketball game. He's getting ready to go back to school. Came to the basketball game, dropped $100 on us. And but he is looking, his field is criminology, but he and I were talking about the fact that he always felt that maybe he might either go into nursing or something of that nature because of the fact that he's learned so much about health.
All right.
So there are kids right now who are in pharmacy school, several of them who are doing anything that has to do with health. They're in it.
In the health-related field. And you know what? It seems they're almost guaranteed a job.
Exactly.
Because, you know, the cycle of life.
Exactly.
Mm, wow. So when you talk to these students, when you talk to your success stories, what do they say about what if I'm a Star Foundation wasn't there?
You know, to a person, each of them talk about the fact that they became empowered to believe that they could change the world. And once that empowerment is inside of you, nobody can take it out. Nobody. That's the goal. That is my personal goal. This is my ministry. This is not just a foundation for me, but it's my personal ministry that students get something inside of them that nobody can take away. My father used to tell his kids about getting an education. Once you get it in your head, nobody can take it from you. Once you get empowered, nobody can take it from you. And if nothing else, they feel empowered and believe they can change the world.
Do you feel like you've reached your goal at this point, or do you feel like you've surpassed it, or what are your feelings about that?
Well, first of all, when I started the foundation, I had no idea we were going to be where we are. I honestly had no idea. I know that it was basically spirit led and spirit pushed. No, I don't feel as if I've reached my goal, because it's always some more children coming in who are going to need some help. So every year we get a new crop and we get them in, and I say to them, oh, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And they say, I can't do it. And I'm like, can't doesn't exist in the dictionary. We got to move forward. So my goal will not be reached, I feel, until the day that God tells me to stop. But can I tell you one thing that we do, we have something called Taking It to the Turquoise. And Taking It to the Turquoise, for them, I shared with them some years ago that I was at the beach asking God what I needed to do with these young people who he had placed in my life. And he had me to look out at the water, talked about passing the murkiness of it, passing the blue, and looking straight out into the turquoise. And that's where he wanted me to take his children. So whenever we're going to do something, they got to take it to the turquoise. If it's not to the turquoise, it is not where it needs to be.
I like that. I may steal it.
Steal it. It's okay.
I'll give you credit, though.
All right.
Anything else you want to add?
What I do want to add, first of all, I want to thank you for having me here today. I do want to say to people who are listening out there, there are children who are living in cars. There are children who, through no fault of their own, have no place to lay their heads at night, or they're in a shelter. And they need something, they need help. Please help them. Go to www.gofundme.com/helpinghomelessstudents. You can give $1 and it will make a difference.
And give us your website one more time.
Website, www.imastarfoundation.org. imastarfoundation.org.
Betty, thank you so much for coming in. I have enjoyed this interview.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it, too. Thank you for having me.
And thank you as well for joining us today on Hot Topics. We'll see you next week. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Hot Topics on Hot 99.5. Hot Topics is a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department. For more information about the program you just heard, visit myhot995.com, then click on Hot Cares. And join us again next Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. for another edition of Hot Topics on Duval's only R&B, the new Hot 99.5.